So today I'm going to just talk about one little word. It's a three-letter word, not a four-letter word. I'm going to talk about a three-letter word that is found throughout the Bible. And it's something that God desires us to do. He desires us to ask. And so we're going to be reading the words of Jesus today. And numerous times throughout the books, the gospel books, you will find Jesus telling people to ask. And so we didn't take a survey, but survey says these are the top 11 answers to why people do not ask for help. All right. So number one, and these are not in any specific order. They're not by, of course, we didn't take a survey, so they're not numbered by whoever answered. So the first one is up there, if you can read it. It's bigger up there than on the TV. But number one, it shows weakness. A lot of people don't ask for help because they think it, in their mind it's a form of weakness. If you grew up in a family where you grew up with a dad that worked hard and he might have passed on that to you and said, you know, you don't ask for anything, but you work for everything. So sometimes it's weakness. Sometimes it's low self-esteem. Maybe you don't feel adequate. Maybe you don't feel worthy of asking someone to help you. The third one is the lack of necessary social skills. How many know that sometimes the way you present something, asking, either convinces people to help you or turns people off? Number four, it's just wrong to ask for help. Some people just think it's wrong. It's just, no, I'm not going to do it. If I can't get it, I can't get help, I'll just deal with it myself. Number five, we don't want to inconvenience anyone. How many have felt that way? That you're going through something and you know that they're busy, you know, but we're just afraid to ask somebody to help us because we think it might be an inconvenience for that other person. A lack of assertiveness. The belief I shouldn't have to ask. How about that one? That's popular in the church. People get offended because they're going through something and somebody didn't come up and offer help when maybe we didn't even know. Amen? And so sometimes we just presume that people should know what I'm going through, therefore I'm not going to ask. How about pride? Isn't it kind of humbling to have to ask somebody for help? Most of us as Americans, we have this idea that, you know, we do it ourselves. We pride on trampling on people to reach the top. We can do it ourselves, that American pride. Negative experiences. Sometimes we find these things that we've asked in the past and we kept getting the answer, no, 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 no. And what do? We stop asking, right? You stop asking. How about the fear of rejection kind of goes with the negative experiences? We're just afraid that if I do ask, they're just going to say no. And so we don't ask anymore. So we're going to look at Jesus' words here today. And we're going to not talk about maybe helping one another, but we're asking help from Jesus. And the Bible says a lot. Jesus said a lot about it. And so we're going to read quite a bit of scripture here today. But I want you to think about this today. That no matter what we're going through, whether we think it's worthy, whether we think it's little, whether we think it's too much, we are inspired, we are encouraged by Jesus himself to ask. So we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 5, verse 42. Jesus sets the precedent for us here today. And some of the reading is out of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says there in verse 42 of chapter 5, he says, "Give to those who ask and don't turn away from those who want to borrow." I know this is not about us asking, but how many know that we are to give when people come to us? We are to respond to people when they come and ask for help. We are to find a way to help them. And why do we do that? Because Jesus set the precedent. Because he himself said, "I want you to come to me, ask me, and I'm going to do it for you." Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. "But when you pray," I like that word, when. That means you do pray, right? All seven of you? All right. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Then he says in verse 7, when, meaning you have to pray, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you what need even before you ask him. Isn't that amazing? He already knows what your need is, but it is conditional. Even though he knows what you need, he puts in here, I want you to ask. So there is something required of us. In Matthew 7, starting with verse 7, keep on asking. All right? There's a belief out there, all you have to do is ask one time if you have enough faith. But how many know sometimes it takes a little bit more? How many know when your kids come to you and ask for something, we usually don't respond the first time. But after 1,963 times, you finally give in, right? Because you're tired of hearing it. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, what? Receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Your parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And of course, James, the half-brother of Jesus, puts in this. He says, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. All right? All right. Sometimes we may feel intimidated to ask for help. I don't know about you. I was kind of going through this, and I kind of realized this point, that I think that Jesus' disciples were intimidated by Jesus. I think they were. Because how many times did Jesus say, what are you guys talking about? They would have conversations off by themselves over a particular thing, away from Jesus, asking one another, what do we do? What's the answer to this? And Jesus would speak out, right? They were intimidated. I believe that his family was intimidated. Could you imagine having Jesus as your older brother? That would be tough. That would be intimidating. Right? Could you imagine your mother, like Mary, saying, why can't you be more like Jesus? That would be intimidating, right? Make you mad, but it'd be intimidating. The spiritual leaders were intimidated by Jesus. It says they were jealous. They were jealous because of the crowds that he attracted. They were jealous of the way he was teaching, of his knowledge. They were intimidated by Jesus. I don't know if you agree with my perception here this morning, but how many have ever been around somebody that kind of knows a lot about something and you're working there and they're watching you? Doesn't that kind of intimidate you? That if you're at a job and your boss is watching you do what you're supposed to do, it's kind of intimidating. And it's kind of like, go away, go away, go away. It's intimidating. I believe Jesus was tough. I believe Jesus was straightforward. I think Jesus was assertive. I believe he was demanding in a lot of his ways and his teaching. He knew what he knew. So there's somebody in this body of believers that I think kind of resembles Jesus a little bit, and that's Libby. I don't know if you... Are you intimidated by this guy sometimes? Yeah. See, I got a witness, so I picked the right person. If you've ever worked with Libby, you know that... we've done a few projects here in the church and in the community. And if you work with Libby, everybody is looking towards Libby for the answers. Even though we may know how to do it, it's like, Libby, what do you think? Because he's assertive. And if you would ask somebody where he works as we did just now at AmeriCorps, Smiles, you would find that he's pretty tough on those individuals. And they're a little bit intimidated by him.
And it might be that gravelly voice that he speaks in.
You know, that Sicilian voice, you know, like he's part of the mafia or something. But at heart, if you get to know him, he's a soft, cuddly teddy bear, isn't he? And I believe that was the way with Jesus. He was assertive. He was straightforward. I don't want to say blunt. He was assertive because Jesus knew what he wanted, what he expected out of those that were following him. And so I believe he intimidated people. But what I also find out is, as you read through the Gospels, the crowds were not intimidated by Jesus. People from all over Israel, even the Gentile world, came to Jesus to be healed. They came asking Jesus to do something for them. We see over and over stories of individuals that came to Jesus and said, would you do this? Would you heal me? Would you touch my eyes? Would you, whatever. They weren't intimidated by Jesus. How many know children are not intimidated by you parents? Right? They know who to come to and ask, right? Right? They may not ask somebody else, but they'll ask you as parents. So Jesus did not want his disciples to be intimidated to ask. So in John chapter 14 through verse 16, we're not going to read it all right? So Jesus encouraged his disciples to ask him for whatever they needed. Seven times he reinforced the idea of asking. And so as I read through some of these scriptures here today, I want you to think about some of the stipulations that come with asking. So it's not just we can ask anytime, off the cuff, ask Jesus. There's some things that must take place in us. Some things we must do for prayer to be answered. So let's begin in John chapter 14, starting with verse 13. Are you with me? Okay. You can ask for what? Wow. Man, that's a big open door, isn't it? In my name. And who will do it? I will do it so the Son of Man can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, do what? Obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. So we jump to John 15, verse 7. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you may ask for what? Anything you want. How many have a big want list? I do. Anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. We jump to verse 15 in John 15. He says, I no longer call you slaves because a master does not confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever, hallelujah, you ask for using my name. This is my commandment, love each other. And in John 16, we continue with it. Verse 22, so you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. It's kind of a change of pace, isn't it? He just said, ask me for anything. Now he's saying, don't ask me for anything. He said, at that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant your request because you use what? My name. Why do we pray in Jesus' name? It's the key. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive anything. And you will have abundant joy. I have spoken of these matters in figures of speech, but soon I will stop speaking figuratively, and I will tell you plainly all about the Father. Then you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf. Boy, what a relationship we can have with the Father here today, isn't it? That Jesus gives us access into the throne room. For the Father himself loves you dearly because you love me and believe that I came from God. So I want to look at three stipulations that are found in these three chapters. There's probably many more, but I'm just going to focus on three here this morning. All right. Are you ready? I think we're up to 10. All right. Okay. First stipulation is abide. Of course, Jesus in verse chapter 15, he was talking about the vine and the branches. He's talking about being connected, that we need to be connected to Jesus. There is a relationship. There is that expectation that we are connected to Jesus, that we are in relationship with Jesus, that we are fellowshipping consistently with Jesus. If we do not abide in Jesus and his words do not abide in us, what right do we have to ask him for anything? Right? So as we're in relationship with him, there is an open door for him to what? Answer our prayers. The promises in John 16:24, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will what? You will receive that your joy may be full. How many know that Jesus wants you to be joyful? How many know when a prayer is answered, it's exciting. It brings joy into your life. And hopefully that stimulates us to even pray more. There is a joy in giving and receiving. But we have to be hanging out with Jesus. That is one of the essential points in our life. It talks about producing fruit. Producing fruit. He wants to produce fruit in us. And how many know that answered prayer is fruit? All right? We always think of an action, something that I'm going to do. But how many know it's just getting in and having a relationship with him because he has a joy of you being in his presence. There is joy for what? Evermore. Right? The psalm says. There is joy in the presence of the Lord. So this is part of the fruit that we are to produce. We pray, we ask, and what's he do? He provides. He answers. So one of the stipulations for asking is that we abide in Jesus. Secondly, love. There is supposed to be a vertical relationship that we have with God, and there is a horizontal relationship that we have with one another. Our love for Jesus is not based on emotions. Love is not based on how sentimental we are. Our love for Jesus is based on our obedience. So many times we look at the outward people, how they act. We can watch during a service. There are some that get into the worship. There are others that are just kind of there. And so we can make a judgment statement saying, well, those people, what? Those are raising their hands. They're getting into it. Oh, man, they love Jesus. And then we can kind of look at others and maybe think, wonder what's going on in their life. Wonder if they love Jesus as much as I do. See, it's looking at the outward man, right? Jesus looks at what? The heart. The heart. All right? So we need to stop judging by the outward appearances. Our love for Jesus is based on obedience to him. He says it four times, John 14:15, if you love me, obey my commandments. John 14:21, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. John 12:24, anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. John 15:10, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. So, obedience helps us, what, remain in him. It is how we show that we love him. It's not emotional. How many know sometimes we come to church and we don't feel like worshiping? Does it mean you don't love him that day? No, you just don't feel like doing the outward thing. So we see our love for Jesus, number one, is based on obedience. Secondly, we are commanded to what? Love one another. John 15:12 says, "This is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." I don't know about you, but I don't really want to die for you. But let's change that word here today. All right? How about let's sacrifice for one another, right? All right? We're not at that point where I have to lay my life down for you, but there is a place where I may have to sacrifice to help you to meet a need in your life. John 15:7, "This is my command, love each other." So again, it's not based on feelings, because sometimes we don't feel like helping people. But how many know that once you start doing something, it's easier, it kicks in, right? And so, folks, we are responsible to one another. Showing that love by being obedient to Christ, what would Jesus do, right, in those circumstances, whether we feel like it or not, right? We are called to love Jesus, and we are called to love one another. The third stipulation he talks about here about asking is that he has given us a helper called the Holy Spirit. And so this is something we cannot neglect. It is a gift that he has given us. John 14:16 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate." Let's change that word advocate to helper. Some of your translations say comforter. "He will give you another helper who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into" what? "All truth." And this is important because James warns us that a lot of our prayers aren't answered because we ask with wrong motives. We ask amiss. And so we need the Holy Spirit in our life because he will speak truth into our life. He will give us an idea of what we can ask for and what we shouldn't ask for. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now. He's talking to his disciples. And later will be in you. So we have the advantage today that he lives in us. He's not walking with us, but he's living in us. So hallelujah. Jesus provided a helper who is what? Come inside, and he is our helper. He is our consistent companion. The Bible says his spirit and our spirit have become what? One. I can't fathom that. When you're born again, according to Jesus in John 3, his spirit, our spirit become one. Just like you have two parents, they became, and here you are today, because those two became one in you. John 14:26, "But when the Father sends the Helper as my representative," that is the Holy Spirit, "he will teach you everything." How many know? Sometimes we need to ask. We need to ask. We need the teacher to tell us everything. "And I will remind you of everything I have told you." John 16:7. "But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Helper will not come." And I'm going to jump to Romans 8:26. "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we do not know what God wants us to pray for." That's what I'm talking about here today. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. Sometimes we don't even know how to believe. We don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us, can I say for us and through us, with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. That's why we need a helper. That's why Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem, don't go anywhere, don't do any ministry, don't do anything until I send the helper to you. Because he's not just going to be with you as when you went around and you preached and you healed and you delivered and you cast out demons. He said, now it's going to be forever, anytime, any day, every day, that he's going to be with you 24/7. Wow. That's incredible to think about here today. So God has provided a helper when it comes to prayer. He's not some nebulous force. He is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. And he is here to partner with us in one of the most important aspects of connecting with Jesus. Because Jesus wants to answer our prayers. We need the Holy Spirit in our life to know how to pray and what to pray for. So, Denise, if you'll work your way up there, she's going to give a testimony here in a minute. So let me ask you this as she's coming. Have you been practicing the biblical principles of asking? Have you learned the biblical principles of asking? There are some stipulations. He wants our ducks to be in order. He expects some certain things from us. What are you asking for? What are the things in your life that you're asking for? Are they little things? Big things? As I share with you, I've been asking too small. I think our church has been asking too small. And so I don't know what this is going to look like, but we're exercising some faith here for some big things that I can't see us doing on our own. Hallelujah. Amen? That's what church is about. He is the head of the church. He is the one who's going to be the provider. So let me ask this question. Are you experiencing the results of your asking? Where's your joy level here today? When it comes to the area of prayer, are you seeing results? Because he said if you do, your joy may be full. Maybe we're not as joyful as we should be because we're not seeing the answered prayers. Or maybe the prayers we're not even asking, they're not being answered. John 14:16. I encourage you, read it again and again and again until it gets in your spirit. He wants us to abide in him. We need to be people of love, not just loving God and obeying God, but also loving one another and cooperating with the Holy Spirit or allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us in the area of prayer. So Denise is going to come and share a testimony with you.
I told him 10 minutes, but we'll see. We'll see. Not five. So, okay. So as many of you know, I've been looking for a house for about 6 months. And it's been a journey and not a fun one. But I want to start by saying that I'm not typically the type of person that's going to throw out finances, my finances. But you'll see, I'm going to throw out some numbers that they're germane to the story to see, you can see just exactly how amazing God is and how he worked through all of this. So I have a house. I wasn't homeless. I wasn't looking for a house because I was homeless. I have a house and I have a very nice house. But my very nice house, it's a 3-bedroom, easily 4-bedroom, 3-bath house. And it's just me. That house has also in the last 10 years provided a lot of my family some stability when they needed it. So that in itself has been a blessing. My son and his wife, they have a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 1-year-old daughter. In a couple years, they're going to be teenagers. They're really going to appreciate a 3-bath house. So that to say this. We decided about 6 months ago, they've been in the market looking for a house because they live in a mobile home and they've outgrown it. And, let me just tell you, the housing market is an abysmal. It's just horrible at this particular point. Interest rates are ridiculous. Housing prices are ridiculous. If you've been looking for a house, you know what I'm talking about. And when they were looking for a house and then, what is out there like? Just astronomical prices for real stinkers of houses. And they were not able to find anything. So about 6 months ago, we came up with the idea that why don't I give them my house, not give them, I'm not giving them my house. Nope, I'm good, but I'm not that good. Anyway, but I did learn some things, and this is God working. I don't know markets. I know the houses are expensive right now, but I never heard of an assumable loan. And for those of you who don't know, and I'm not going to give you a finance lesson, but I never heard of it. And how I even came across an assumable loan is a God thing. Well, real quick, if you have immediate family, you can give them a loan at your price. How I got my house was very definitely a God thing, and I got my house at a 3% interest rate. You can't touch that right now. It's just impossible. You can't even buy down to a 3% interest rate. I was able to give them my assumable loan, and here's one of the prices. Not telling you the price of the houses, but by doing that, that's saving them at least $250,000. We did the math, and that's amazing. That's God at work right there. So, so that leads us into, then once we decided that and we needed them to be in before winter, I started looking for houses. You all know that. I've been at this altar. Many of you have been praying. Our Tuesday night classes have been praying. And I've been praying. But I was praying, God, I found a house. If this is the one for me, you work it out. And I tend to like to take control of things. If you've ever worked with me in the kitchen, you know that I'm going to control things. And so for months, I kept praying, and my dad kept saying, your house is going to be there. Your house is going to come. And I kept saying, well, here's a house in my price range. God, if this is the house for me, work it out. And it wasn't working out for me. And I was at the altar, and on Tuesday nights we were praying, and all of you that, you know me well, were praying for the house. And then, I don't know what it was exactly, but it hit me one day. You know what? When I sit down for my breakfast, that's when I do my praying. My prayer focus changed. And it was the week before the festival, the Emlinton Festival. And that Monday morning, I said, God, there's a house for me. You find it. I'm out of this. I'm stepping back, and I'm letting you take control. And the moment I gave God control, and I stepped back, so that was Monday. The festival was Friday. So I was at work getting ready to drive home, and Cindy Monrian sent me a link. And it was from the Clarion group. And I thought, Clarion, maybe she doesn't understand the assignment. But I'm going to look at that when I get home. Okay. And then I'm on the way home, and I got another ding. And I know you're not supposed to look at the phone when you're driving. But I'm looking for a house, and it's pretty important. Okay. So Bonnie Marzek sent me a link to the Clarion thing. And I thought, this might be something. I might look at this. And I'm driving down the road, and real quick, I didn't take my eyes off the road, but I did look, and it's like this really cute house. I didn't open the link and read it driving down the road. Then I pull into my driveway, and my daughter sends me a link to a house. And I'm like, okie dokie, and I open it up, and all three of them are for this same house. How about that? So I'm like, I get on and I read it, and I call my dad. I'm like, listen to this. I said, now, here's another price I'm going to throw out to you. All along, and many of you have heard me say this, I'm getting rid of a house, and you all know how many hours I work. I would like to scale back on that a little bit. So $85,000 is my max. Well, let me tell you what. The house is for $85,000 right now. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're shacks. And you've got to put at least $30,000 to $50,000 in it to make them even livable. I know that, and I can point them out to you. And this house, right on it, said 86.5. And so we're like, oh, look at God work. So my dad's like, this looks pretty good. Let's look it. So I call her. I didn't even waste time with texting. I call the woman. And I said, I really want to come look at this house. And she's like, well, I have two people ahead of you that are definite yeses. And But if you really want to come look at it, I said, yes, I do. I didn't even give her a set time for a second breath. I said, yes, I do. And we set up the appointment, and she's like, when do you want to come look? I said, I'm going to get a hold of my dad. We can be down there in about an hour. And she's like, let's do it. Okay. So we go down there, and we step in this house, and it was like that factor. Beautiful. I mean, I didn't even have to dust. She was in the process of painting and cleaning that house so I could walk right in. It was fantastic and beautiful, just absolutely beautiful. And we go the whole tour, and we're making small talk, but important small talk. And, like, my dad's eyes were this big, and I'm this big, and we go, you know, go through, and he's like, I can't see a single reason why we don't get this house. And I'm like, he's like, what's your thoughts? And I'm like, I really want this house really bad. You know, I'm trying not to, like, jack up the price because I want it so desperately. It's beautiful. And so he says to Mary, he's like, so why would you be selling a house at this price in this market, you know, trying to fish out what's the secret, you know, what's wrong with this house? The thing that was with this house is that Mary's had it as a rental property. She's closing, you know, doesn't want to deal with anymore. She's made her money. She just wanted it. And he's like, well, how long has it been on the market? 2 days. 2 days this house was on the market. That was Thursday, and this is Friday. This was the second day. So I said, I am willing to put money on it right now. And don't have a lot of money, but whatever I got, it's yours, you know. And so she's like, well, you're the first person willing to offer money. I'm like, thanks, God, you know. And so she's like, but I have to let these two women talk. They're, you know, the two people ahead of me. And I said, okay, I understand. So I talked to a couple people in the church, and we start praying. And I just kind of had that sense, this was my house that God had for me. So anyways, so Saturday, it was the Amlinton Festival. And I talked to Linda Miller, and she, right there, she was sitting at the one booth, at the civic booth, and she starts praying. And then I ran into Judy, and Judy starts praying, and a couple other people, you know. And while I'm up there, I get a phone call, or I get a text from Mary, and she said, the first person's out. It was two women. They wanted it as an Airbnb. Their husbands have said, I'm not interested in a house that old. We're not doing it. We only have one lady left. And I'm like, okay. So then right in the tennis court at the Emlinton Park, Judy says, let's pray. So we're standing there praying, and she said, we want nothing to befall this lady, but we just pray that if this is Denise's house, the atmosphere shifts. And we all agree, and we go about our day. And I didn't talk to Mary anymore that day. Well, the next Sunday, so now we're Friday, found the house, Saturday, I'm second in line. Sunday, the Stevensons were here. And I got to be blessed to be one of the ones that went out to lunch with them. Well, that's down in Foxburg, and you can't get texts down in Foxburg. So we're enjoying our lunch, and because I went straight, and it was hot that day, my parents took my cookies home so they wouldn't melt sitting in my car while I was out to eat. So I come up out, we're all done eating, and I come up out, and as I pull into my parents' driveway, I get a whole bunch of texts. And the first one I open up, was Mary saying the second lady was going through an FHA loan, and the house is too old. The house is yours if you want it. And I'm like, the house is mine. The house is mine. I couldn't text her back fast enough. I'm like, and my mom, I'm like, Mom, the house is mine. The house is mine. I'm like, and she didn't get back to me. And I'm like, God, don't let anybody else be doing it. You know, and it was amazing. And we went, and I said, I absolutely want this house. And the miracles that happened from then on out, you know, the financing and the laws. I'm not a huge fan of all the laws, but we jumped through the hoops. And I signed Wednesday, and I got my house. So it is absolutely stunning. It's 303, so if anybody, especially if you have a truck and you want to help move, I'm going to be down there right after church. Come on down and visit my new house. But, yeah, so this is, I just, all this, you can see God's hands all over this. And it ties right in with what Pastor was saying. And it is prayer, and it is asking, and it is diligence. And believing that God has our best interest. And now I've got this house, and my son and my daughter-in-law are going to be able to slide into a house. And it is all because we serve a God who is willing and able to meet our needs.
We want to close this service with, what are you asking for? It may be asking Jesus into your life. It may be something as big as a house. It may be something minor. I don't know what it is today, but I'm just going to invite you to make a move towards him today. If you're here today and you need Jesus as your Savior, we're going to invite you to come forward, and we want to pray with you. But if you're going through some things, and maybe they're newer things, and it's just big, and you just want someone to pray with you, we want to pray with you. Or maybe it's something that's been going on for a long time. It's one season after another, season after another, and nothing's happening. Can we agree with you tonight or this morning? Can we agree? We don't have because we don't ask. And one of the first scriptures we said is keep on praying. Keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking. Sometimes we have to keep on knocking. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. How many know that God has to arrange circumstances? He has to put people in positions. You know, working with people is not easy. How many know they don't always go and do what you want them to do? Sometimes he has to work on people to get them in the right positions. What? For answered prayer. Because God answers prayer through what? People. Think about it. Most of what we're going through involves people. So I'm inviting you here today. If you just like to pray, us to pray with you today about any specific thing that's going on in your life. Maybe you're discouraged because you've been praying and you're not seeing any answers. I'm going to ask you just to move quickly. Just move here this morning towards the Lord. Come to the altar. This is what church is about, not just sitting here listening to someone blab. But it's listening to what the Holy Spirit is speaking, what God's Word is saying to you specifically here this morning. What are you going through? It may be little. You may think, it's not a big deal. You may know everything's a big deal to God. Even those little things in our life. Maybe it's a big thing. Our dinner church is looking at phase two. At buying a building. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy. But we're dreaming. We're exercising faith. So what is it this morning? What is it this morning? Let me reiterate this morning. If you don't know Jesus, today is the day. Jesus isn't about religion. It's not about going to church. It's about a relationship. It's about getting into his word. It's about praying and getting to know him. Jesus said, come to the Father in my name. He said, my Father's waiting. He's waiting to answer prayers. Hallelujah. we could, please. We need some people coming up praying. Ladies, we ask that you come up. So our prayer warriors, we need you to come over here, pray with some of our ladies. Don't think about it, just move here this morning. What a testimony here this morning. Isn't it amazing how God works? How many of you like to have a 3% interest rate? Hallelujah. Praise God. Pray where you're at this morning. Everybody, every family, you have friends, you have acquaintances who are going through things. In this atmosphere here this morning, begin to ask in their behalf this morning. Let it be a place of intercession today. The Bible said he is ever interceding at the right hand of God for us. He's given us a Holy Spirit that intercedes for us. Let's be a people of intercession where we pray for others. Lord, use us here this morning. If you're here today and you have a need, we didn't have prayer time today. Maybe you need a touch in your body. I have a prayer request. Daniela's getting one of her knees operated on Tuesday. We desire your prayers today. She's very fearful, afraid. And so, pray for our family, pray for Daniela especially. Hallelujah. Anybody else have something going on in your life they want prayer for?